They see something big. There it is. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But before we do, we're going to have Daniel come up, and he's going to read for us the scripture text for our lesson this evening for our young people, Matthew chapter 16, 13 through 18.
Thank you, Rick. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it."
All right. Now, how many of you recognize what you're looking at right there? Can you tell me what that is? It's a solid mound. It's solid stone. At least where that tree is in the midst of. You see that? It's rock. And you know what the cool part about a rock like this? You don't have to worry about a lawnmower. Y'all ever worry about a lawnmower? You have to push the lawnmower? You know why you push lawnmowers? Because grass grows. Grass won't grow there too well. It's amazing, isn't it, that tree is growing? I wonder, how is that tree growing there? It's rock. And we have tonight our big old what? Rock. Now, I'm going to ask, I better not ask you what you said about this rock. We don't want to offend John. We appreciate John bringing us this big old rock for a show and tell tonight. So to bring our lesson home. And one thing we know about this rock, that it is definitely bigger than this rock. Now, if we were going to choose a rock that we wanted to carry around in our pocket, which one would it be? Yeah, I don't think so. See, the amazing thing about this rock is it's a whole lot heavier than it looks. I think he found the meteorite. Because I can just feel it. It's pretty heavy. I hope this stand will endure that. Well, we're going to talk about the rock because of what Jesus said about the rock. But before we do look at what Jesus said that we heard read in the Scripture for all the adults here, we want to set the context because this happened in an area near the upper regions of the Sea of Galilee, not the Caesarea that's on the coast, but Caesarea Philippi that's in the inward part of the land. And the significance of that is that this Caesarea Philippi had rock. And so when Jesus was speaking to his disciples and he asked them this important question, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He's going to be able to give them a lesson that they're clearly going to have a significant understanding of. Now, can somebody tell me what it means to understand something? It means you what? You know it really well. You comprehend it, don't you? Very good answer. So, the disciples are going to be able to understand what Jesus is going to tell them because they are familiar with the area and they understand what's there. And what is there is significant because at Caesarea Philippi, there is a city that's built on a rock ledge like we've been looking at. And it was a area that had a lot of rock. And in this particular area where the city was built, there's 100 feet up of rock. And it's huge. In fact, it's 100 feet up and about 500 feet wide. And so if you're going to build something, it's a good place to build upon. And so the disciples could see this and they could understand what Jesus was going to be saying to them. And so as we continue to read in the Scripture, we read about Jesus talking about rock. And there's two types of rock that Jesus is going to be dealing with. He's going to deal with the small rock and he's going to deal with the big rock. Now, I thought about passing this around, letting y'all touch it back there, but there's a problem with that. I only thought about it because I knew it was going to be too heavy. But this one we could, because it's small enough, right? This is a small rock. And so Jesus is going to talk about two different types of rock. And we'll know that as we look at the Scripture. So what we're going to do is go back to the Scripture. And if you look at verse 18, for those of you that don't have a Bible there, you can look up here. What we read is very interesting because Jesus said, "I say to you that you are Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Now, hopefully you can see there that there's the word in red, Peter, and what's the other word? Rock. Now, those two words are very important to understanding this passage of Scripture, because what Jesus is going to talk about is the small rock. And I'm going to give you this rock, Zach, to hold for me. Alex, I mean. So I want you to hold that right there carefully. Don't drop it. Because I'm going to have you hold it up here in a minute. Okay, so Alex got the small rock. Well, Jesus says to Peter, and the reason he's saying that is notice that the response of Peter is significant. Because Jesus asked, "Who do men say that I am?" And then in the response, it's significant that what we read is that Peter is making it clear in chapter 16 that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then Jesus responds and says to Peter, "You are Peter." Now, what's important about that is the word Peter is the word that we get our word rock from. Now, how many of you have a name that has a meaning? Most of you here do not know my middle name. Some of you might. Kathy, what? Well, she won't have to tell me. I'll tell you. You know what my middle name is? You ready for this? Linus. Linus. It's a biblical name. It's also within a cartoon. Now, I suppose it has a meaning, because names have meaning. Just like Mary and other names like that have meaning. Well, Peter had a meaning. He was a stone. And the word that's used here, for those of you that are adults and want to dig a little deeper, his name is a name that comes from a word which means a pebble or small stone. It's the kind of stone that you'd find in the pathway. You're walking along, you look down, and you see the rock. Would you hold that up there, Alex? And I got that off the pathway outside. And that's a kind of a neat rock. I like it. It's got paint on it or something, which makes it really cool. But that rock was in a pathway. And that's the kind of rock that describes the name Peter. But Jesus says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build something significant." He says, "I'm going to build my church." Now, do you think that we could use that little rock to build a church on? It might be a little bit difficult. The rock that Jesus is going to talk about for building the church is not that rock. It's the rock that is huge. It's a mass of connected rock. Now, let's suppose that this rock could blow up about 40 times. Now, I know John could not bring me one of those rocks. It would have been nice to have a huge old boulder in here, wouldn't it? But this will work. Just imagine this is about 100 times as big as it is now. Could you build something on top of it? Absolutely, because it would be big enough. And that's the kind of word that Jesus is using here. He's saying, "You're Peter, you're that little stone, but I'm going to build my church on this big rock." Now, some have mistakenly thought that Jesus was saying that he was going to build the church on Peter. Well, that just doesn't work. Yeah, if you're laughing, that's good, because it is funny, isn't it? Think about a church being built on his back. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. He's talking about the big rock, the solid rock. And that, obviously, is the place to build. If you want to build something, you want to build it where it's firm and strong. Now, unfortunately, I live in a house in Seymour, Missouri, that was not built upon solid rock. It's the only place in Missouri I've been able to dig over 2 feet and not hit a rock. I think they brought in fill dirt. And somebody told me it used to be a swamp. And I can tell it did, because I think the house is going like this. Because we got walls that are separating. It wasn't built upon solid rock. And that trap's about fixing that because I don't know how I'm going to fix it. But they made a mistake, and as far as I'm concerned, that house was not built like Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. When he said, I'm going to build my church, he didn't choose the little rock. Alex, hold that back up. All right. He didn't choose that rock, did he? He said, I'm going to build my church upon a large rock like this one. And that's significant. Because if you build something on a strong foundation, what does that mean? It's going to be there a while, isn't it? It's going to stand for a long time. Now, Matthew 7, verse 24, is a passage we just sang a song about. John, you did a great job leading that song. The wise man built his house upon what? Upon the rock. That was the one that's strong. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And notice what Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a man who built his house on the rock. My house in Seymour was not built on the rock. It's a good thing we're not close to the water. We'd have problems. But when a house is built on the rock, it's on a firm foundation. And what happens? Jesus said the rain descends, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house. But it did not what? It did not fall because it was on the rock. It was built strong. But now let's think about the house built on the sand. There's folks that will spend lots and lots of money. How many of y'all have lots and lots of money at home? I'm not getting any volunteers, even from the adults, on that one. You might be thinking, if I say I got lots of money, Rick will want to borrow it and build a house on a rock. People spend lots of dollars on houses so they can have beachfront property. And they spend lots of money. And sometimes the reason they're able to buy that property is because the house that used to be there is already gone because they went through a storm. But they'll go ahead and buy that property, and what do? They go to building them a house. Well, what did Jesus say about building a house on the sand? Everyone who hears these things of mine and does not do them, notice what Jesus says, does not do them. Did your parents ever tell you something to do that you don't do? Yeah. Sometimes. Hope not, because we should listen to them and pay attention to what they're saying, because it's important. But more importantly, we listen to Jesus. But Jesus points out those that do not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house upon what? Sand. And the winds are going to go. The rain descends. The floods came. The winds blew, beat on the house. And what happened? As the song says, it's gone. And great was its fall. I'm hoping my house in Seymour doesn't look like this one. I'm a little concerned because it's the same color. But it's not built entirely on sand, which is a good thing. They did build some kind of foundation. But obviously, if you're going to build, you don't want to build on a little rock. You want to build on the big rock, because this is solid. Little rock, problem with it, it's just little. And if you got two of them, what's going to happen? They're not going to be solid. And so Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I also say to you that you are Peter, the small stone. And upon this rock, the big stone, I will build my church. And so that definitely is the place you want to build. And that's what Jesus chose to build his church. And then he goes on in verse 17. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you. Revealed what? But what did Peter say? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Now, there are a lot of people that will try to convince you that Jesus is not the Christ, the Son of God. They'll try to say, no, that's not true. Jesus wasn't really anybody but a man. That's what some were saying in Jesus' day. Oh, he's just a man. Or some would say, well, a prophet. Or possibly John the Baptist from the dead. That's even more interesting. But Peter had it right. And Jesus declares to him, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Which is an acknowledgement that Peter was able to perceive what Jesus was presenting. That he was showing them the Father, that he was the Son of God. And of course, as we read in the early scripture, Jesus then would become the chief cornerstone of the building. And essentially, he stands as that which upholds the very nature of the church. Now, how many of you have ever played Army? How about it, Cowboys and Indians? Now, we've got some folks out there that are going, yeah, I did. Oh, Ron, I was going to ask you, Ron, did you play Army when you were a kid? Yeah, I did. Can you imagine these folks as old as they are and played? They did. They played Army. And if you're playing Army, one of the things that you like to do is have a fort. Now, we played Cowboys and Indians. Any of y'all ever play Cowboy and Indians? Of course you did. And what happens when you're an Indian? What do you shoot? Arrows. And what do you have to do if you got an arrow flying at you? You got to hide. And where's a good place to hide? Where'd the cavalry go? They hid in the fort, right? And why would you want to go to a fort? All right, let's suppose that you have right here a big old fort, and this whole thing is rock, and I hide down here, and you shoot an arrow. Is it going to hurt me? No, because of what? The walls of the fort, they're strong. And what's interesting is that we read that Jesus is saying that the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That tells me that this rock that Jesus is talking about and the church he's going to build upon that rock is strong. And it's able to withstand that which would try to overpower. In fact, the word that's interesting here is that word prevail. It means to overpower. Not even the gates of the Hadean or the world or the grave, and some translations say hell there, can overcome the church because it is built upon the rock. I will build my church, Jesus says, and it is not going to be overpowered. Why? It's because it stands as a fortress. And solid rock makes a pretty good fort. I want you to notice right here, I'm going to blow this up, and hopefully y'all can see this. Can somebody tell me what you're looking at right there? It's a cannon. They got it. And the reason that cannon is there, because they decided upon this rock to build a fortress. And it protected their city from invaders from the water. And you'll notice where that cannon is pointing. It's pointing out for those who would seek to invade from the water. And they also have this rock here where they built this fort. It comes on around and they've got more. And it's strong. And if you're the enemy, you're going to have a real problem dealing with those cannons because of the strong fortress that you see here. And so an enemy is not going to very easily prevail against or overpower this fort, are they? And that's why the cowboys and the soldiers, cavalry of years ago, would build their forts. Now, I had a problem with what I used to see on TV when they built those forts. They made them out of wood. And what would Indians do with their arrows? Light them on fire, and what would happen? The wood would burn. Is this rock going to burn? No, it's not. You can shoot this rock all day with flaming arrows, and it's not going to burn. Why the cavalry didn't use all the rock, because when you see those TV shows with the cavalry inside the fort with the wood walls, there's rock all around them. Why didn't they build it out of rock? Jesus says that I will build my church, and Jesus chose a strong foundation, and it truly is the church, a fortress. Now, anybody recognize what you see on the screen? Superman and the fortress. of solitude. And so was this fortress made out of wood? Yeah, it's kind of a... Superman built a strong fortress, didn't he? Just like these folks had their fortress on the rock, Superman in the comic book has the fortress of solitude. Most young people understand that. And some of these folks may have read Superman comic books. I don't know if they did or not. I did when I was a kid. And I remember the fortress of solitude. Now, this young man here is playing Superman. And he has a little bit of a problem with his fork. Can you see what it is? Am I standing your way? What's the problem with his fork? Made out of what? Cardboard. Now, this is a step down from wood, because actually cardboard is what? Wood, only it's real light wood. And if Indians came along, and hopefully not in the backyard, but shot it full of arrows flaming, what's going to happen to the cardboard? It's going to be like the 4th of July. Well, he's playing, and he's playing make-believe, and I guess that's okay. And it's much easier to build a cardboard fort and get out a bunch of these rocks, because you'd have to get Travis and John, and you'd have to haul a bunch of rocks in and build a fort. But obviously, that would be the best thing to do, because a fort like this, and this was built by a kid, would stand a lot, wouldn't it? You could even throw a lot of these rocks, and you're not going to hurt somebody if they're inside a fort. Now, please don't do this at home, okay? Not recommended. But a rock fort is obviously much, much stronger. And so I want to give you this lesson tonight. Are you ready for the lesson to take home? And John, next week you can ask him if they remember. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He didn't pick this one. He picked one much bigger, even than this one. But certainly he didn't pick what? The small rock. He chose massive rock. Because he wanted the church to stand strong and to be essentially a fortress for salvation for all those who would obey the gospel and become Christians. And then for a Christian, Jesus himself is the rock. As the psalmist said, "My fortress and my deliverer." So if we have belief that Peter had in Jesus, then we have the rock, don't we? We have that which is firm and strong. Not a pebble, not something you can pick up on the ground and throw. We've got Jesus who's strong. And when there's folks out there saying, "Oh, you don't really believe in Jesus, do you?" What are you going to say? "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." And it was upon that confession that Peter made, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, that our Lord was able to build the church. Do you know what people are asked before they're baptized into Christ? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? That's an essential question. Because in order to become a Christian, that's what we have to do. We have to be willing to say, "I believe," and mean it, don't we? Mean what we say, because then we become a member of the church and we're baptized into Christ to walk in that newness of life, stand upon the rock that Jesus built his church upon. And what is the church, by the way? Is it this building? I kind of looked out there to see what this church was built on. I know some gravel out there, but I think they brought that gravel in. But this building, I don't know what it's built on, but does it really matter? It's standing up, that's a good thing. It matters for that. But does it really matter when it comes to spiritual things? No, of course not. But what does matter? That the church is made up of those who believe what? That the church was built upon the confession that Jesus said, "I will build my church upon." And Peter said, "What? I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." That's heart and soul. And so when you think about the church, it's not a physical building. It is truly those who make it up, the people that have been obedient and have done what Christ wants them to do and have the faith that Peter had to acknowledge that Jesus was the Christ. One other passage for the adults, and I want to share with the young people tonight and with everybody. It's 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." That's why we can think about Jesus being the rock. God being the rock. the fortress, the strength, to be able to stand against the fiery darts of the enemy or the arrow of the enemy. We can stand because Jesus stands firm as the cornerstone, as the foundation for the church. In fact, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus said, "I am He who lives and was dead." And then He goes on, "Behold, I'm alive forevermore." Amen. And then He said something significant, adult. He said, "And have the keys of Hades, of death." Remember what He told Peter? The gates of Hades will not prevail over power. Why not? Because it's God who holds the keys. He has the right and the power to create that which stands firm on the foundation. And isn't it wonderful that we can be a member of the church built upon His foundation? That's something to smile about. And so that's why tonight we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation song. David's going to come up here and lead in just a moment. And if you're subject to heaven's invitation, then I want you to consider the importance of the rock upon which the church is built. Would you come as we stand and sing?